southeast, and final is surrender. It's also stated a way to the divine. I'll talk about why they are one and the same. I'm going to do a bit different today. We are going to talk a bit about surrender. And we're going to listen to an audio about and allowing is what we are and not what we do. And so prevalent that far better than I do. So we're going to listen to that. It's about 15 minutes. And then we'll share what we got from that audio. And then we're actually going to do a yoga nidra and shavasana, hopefully for about 20 minutes amount of time. There's a physical practice of surrender. And so also I think, you know, we can talk about blue in the face, but really all of that we are going to have consecration. It sounds like, can anyone else, is anyone else having trouble? Just see before we get going. Oh, I'm going in and out. I'm not sure why. Actually noticed that the music prior to me jumping on was in and out too, so I don't know if it's just a bad, can I turn my volume up? Let's have a look. Anyone? Louder? Quieter? Oh, okay, I'll do that quickly. Okay, then we'll be right back. So just give me 2 seconds. Okay, is that? Okay, is this better? I'm not sure about the music. Fine. Right, okay, here we go. I'm in a different room. I have got all my things. We'll see how this comes. And that's on the floor. We'll figure it out. Okay, great. Much better. Right. I can't see the last things written for some reason, but we'll figure it all out. Okay, so perfect. I guess then we'll just start with this consecration so we can then get going. Consecration is just offering of our time together this evening to the service of all beings. So we just sort of sit down and take a breath. And just relax the shoulders or the sitting bones or the feet, whatever it is you're holding on to. And then just calming the mind by staying aware of the breath. And then moving into the center of our chest, that heart space. And whatever language resonates with us, we just make an offering of our time together tonight. May it serve all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be at peace. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace. Okay, right. So yes, we are talking about surrender, or rather we're going to be listening to someone else talk about surrender and then doing some surrendering. So as I mentioned, Ishvara Pranidhana, and I'm going to type that in the room, make it loud so who knows, we'll see what happens. Ishvara Pranidhana is our final niyama. And it means, as I mentioned before, surrender or devoting oneself devoting myself entirely to the divine. Is that better? A bit low. Okay. Right. And if you remember from the Bhagavad Gita that we've been studying for some time now, that in chapter 9, verse 34, it says, "Think of me constantly, devote your life to me, offer all your actions to me, and bow down and surrender before me. Thus you become steady on your path to the supreme goal and come unto me." And Ishvara Panindana is essentially this sloka from the Bhagavad Gita in just one, well, two words, Ishvara Panindana. And it reminds us of the Gita when I think about this, particularly in the Yama, because when we find ourselves in the Gita, we're obviously, you know, we are Arjuna and he's on the battlefield and he's there with Krishna. And he's facing an army, a huge battle is going to commence, and he's going to be the one sort of starting it, really, or leading it. And it's similar, we've spoken about, to our lives, you know, and in, very often we find ourselves waging war on the moment, that there's a battle going on. There are people we don't like, there are thoughts passing through that upset us, and then we're attached to things, and there are desires, and we want more of those. And so it can seem like we're in this battle on a daily basis, like the battlefield Kurukshetra. And what we learn from the Gita is the art of surrender. Like the whole of the Gita is about surrender. It's not just this beautiful sloka in chapter 9. If you remember, everyone can hear me, right? I'm sort of behind on the tapping into the room, so it comes across. Okay. So if you remember, what I find so useful about the Gita is at the beginning, we start what's called the despondency in Arjuna. And he's seeing his cousin and 100 cousins, and they're huge army, and he's there with his brothers. He comes out with Krishna and his chariot. And what he does is he looks around and his mind starts to say, this is such a good idea, and look at all these lives that will be lost and the suffering that will happen. And then he sits down and drops his bow and arrow. And we could say that this was a surrender. But right then and there, he surrenders and sort of gives up in the battle. However, we would be wrong. Because what the Gita really teaches us is that the surrender comes right at the end of the Gita. So what happens is, and we'll talk about it, Krishna takes Arjuna when he's responded and then offers him a teaching of yoga and talks about reincarnation and about the nature of reality and about the divine and the essence of the divine and what it means to live in connection with the divine and live from our true nature. So at the end, Arjuna surrenders, but he surrenders to Krishna. He surrenders himself and says, you know, whatever you want me to do, Krishna, I will do. And Krishna says, take part in the battle. So it's very interesting because often when we think about surrendering, okay, we've got to practice surrender, we would think, oh, it just means like laying down arms and that's it. But what we're saying is the surrender, the Gita tells us, what this Niyama teaches us, is that the surrender that's a space is surrendering the mind, surrendering, you know, the Arjuna is all those voices we're listening to about, oh, the suffering that will happen, and his own I, or the personal self, the small self, was telling him what to do. And in the end, what he learned was to surrender to Krishna. And so that's the same for us. So it's not necessarily the way we think of the Dhamma when we surrender. And it certainly isn't passive. It's a very active practice, the practice of surrender. And so I was thinking about Muji. He teaches divine replace me with you, which I feel sort of captures the essence of this particular niyama. And Richard Rohr actually says, thy kingdom come, my kingdom go, which I think is hilarious, and that sort of sums it up. So last year, about this time of year actually, not far off, when I went to be ordained in Colorado, and Brent Haskell was leading a retreat, and the whole retreat was on surrender, it was beautiful. And he was sort of saying that when we surrender, what we're really saying is yes. We're saying yes to all of it. And when we're worrying, like Arjuna was at the beginning of all the suffering, and when we're worrying and when we're striving, or when we're thinking how we must do this and must achieve that, and what we think the best outcome is going to be for us, even if we're thinking for everyone, that is our mind saying no to what is. When we surrender instead, we bring this energy of yes to the present moment. So the person who jumps ahead in line and makes us mad, in the words of Brent Haskell, we say, yes, thank you for reminding me that I still think we're separate. Or, you know, the political person who we are verbally opposed to, we say, great, this is another fine example of how I'm devoted to what I think matters instead of allowing what is and listening to guidance from God. So it's not a weakness to yield. It's really sort of just swapping my will for thy will kind of thing. So I was thinking about resistance a lot lately. We see the word a lot these days. But me personally, it was unusual because I felt resistance to the word resistance. And if you know me, you know that I am like a justice warrior. And so when things looked a bit iffy a few months ago, I was ready to sort of saddle up on my horse and stride out into battle, justice warrior. And the guidance I got was, no, no, I'm not going to do that. And when I asked, well, what the hell am I going to do, it said, you're going to work on yourself. You're going to work on yourself. And I thought, whoa, but you know, I feel like I've been gearing up my whole life for this. I felt like I was always playing on mirror, that really I was a child of the 60s and I wanted to be there in the civil rights movement, and here is my chance to really put all this anger, I suppose, to work. And I was told, that's not what's going to happen. And so I've been looking at this word resistance and just thinking about how it's not the right word for me at the moment. It's the right word for many people, but for me, it's not. And I was thinking about why, and it's because it has this essence, quality of a no. And it just feels like it's pushing against something for me. So I felt like to join the resistance, perhaps this guidance I was getting was that there is something not working for me there. So I was down my water the other day, and I was looking at a waterfall down the tube, because we're going to be doing the weeds as water. So I was looking at this waterfall for inspiration, and in this waterfall, as the water comes down, there is an enormous rock that sort of sits in the middle of where the water drops down into, and the water has to come around it and then drop down again into the pond or the lake. And I was thinking about this water and this resistance. And I was thinking, you know, the water is flowing, and along comes this enormous rock and blocks it from following the path or the direction it was going in. And I sort of parallel this to me. The world was going in a certain way, and I liked the way it was going. And all of a sudden, this big rock here appears. But the water doesn't sort of resist this rock. It doesn't turn around and go back. It doesn't try and go through the middle of the rock. It doesn't wave a banner or anything. It carries on going. It finds a way. It flows around. It goes under. It goes down into the earth and comes up. And the rock obviously gets smoothed slowly away over time, although that's not the water's intention. The water's just carrying on going. And so I was thinking about this from the standpoint of surrender and resistance, and why surrender feels good to me and resistance doesn't. It feels a little like surrender is when you allow yourself to be with the flow and trust that will move through whatever it's supposed to move through. And I was thinking in terms of love and hate. So love is flowing out and then hate arrives. Love doesn't do anything but carry on going or sweep hate up and or observe or be aware of hate. It never resists hate. Love does it. And the same with water. And the same, I believe, with the divine spirit. And so surrendering is putting yourself into that position instead. And I'm not saying that resistance is not appropriate for everyone at all. Far from it, I think for some people it's the right path right now. But when you proceed, and that's the whole point of surrender, but you surrender your own will and you ask the divine guidance to lead you instead. So some people will be leading them to go out, and some people don't. But I'm fortunate in that my guidance has been so vague that I have to keep asking it. So every time something arises in the news, I ask, should I make some calls? Should I go on a march? Should I allow this? Should I listen to the opposite side? Should I reach out? Should I just sit and meditate? Should I just stop reading news and do my work? And so, and it varies. Sometimes the guidance is, yeah, you should pop out, but then I have to say, well, should I write a sign that's witty and pithy, but a little bit catty, or should I write something peaceful and loving, or should I have no sign? Should I hang at the back? So in every moment, through everything that's happening, for me, politically, at the moment, it's a beautiful practice of surrender, because I'm having to ask in every moment, what would you have me do? As Eckhart Tolle says, surrender is the simple but profound wisdom of yielding to rather than opposing the flow of life. Okay, so giving yourself over to a higher power or purpose. And the things we do to put this into practice are all the things that we've looked at in Endowments and Endowments. And just if you remember, it was about looking at self-knowledge with a capital S. One of those practices is cultivating awareness, becoming aware, and that's sort of really the perfect practice for surrender. The king of yoga nidra, Richard Miller, has this lovely quote, and he says, refusing creates conflict. What you refuse is repressed into the unconscious, and whatever lives in the unconscious is then projected out into the world. So when you reject anger, you project it. Embodying this understanding is powerfully transformative. When we stop trying to change and instead learn to be aware, magic happens. Awareness is like fire. Fire purifies and awareness purifies. Which I love, and he mentions that during yoga nidra, we learn to rest and abide at this fire of awareness and welcome all that is. And that's really sort of the essence of the teaching of this niyama. So it's sort of becoming aware. How is the sound? I'm seeing some people typing things about sound. I've got the mic up, I'm plugged into the wall, I don't know what more I can do. Because I asked because I'm going to switch to put the microphone up against it. Sounds like I'm far from the mic. I'm almost speaking the mic. Is this better? I turned up a dial that's on my mic. Yes, no, better, worse. I'm not seeing anything. Same. Interesting. You know what? Is this better? Is this better? Better, worse? Same. Yes, better. Yes, worse. It's good for me. Okay, because I have now unplugged the mic. Yes, it's okay. Okay. What the hell's going on then? Okay, great. Well, we're going to listen to this audio from Rupert Spear. It's about 14 minutes long. Right, can you hear me? Okay. Right, talk about surrendering to the moment. right. So
we were trying to listen to Rupert Spira, and it's a really lovely talk. And I'm instead just going to give you the link. but basically, a woman says to him, you know, 3 months ago, that she had this for 3 months, a state of being in the flow, of being in bliss, of being completely present. And then it started to fade. And so she says to him, you know, I had a lack, basically. And he says, well, this betrays you, your question, because you're not okay with what is now. And she says, yeah, but what I'm aiming for in my practice of awareness, watching awareness, is to get back to that state. And he says, yes, but you're giving yourself away because you want to get back to a state. And it's, you know, what we're looking for is not a state, the ideas of what it is and what it isn't. And so you're stopping yourself by not just surrendering to what is now, what is at this present moment. And it's only 14 minutes long audio, but I listened to it and thought, goodness, it's so perfect, because often we get ourselves in knots around surrendering because it feels like we have a goal of what we want to surrender to and what surrendering will look like and when we'll know we're fully surrendered. And all that, but you can't really have a goal in the surrendering. That's the thing, because it's just in every single moment asking, allowing. So you don't know what a goal would be, because you don't know what you're going to hear. You don't know what you're surrendering to. You don't know what divine guidance you're going to have. So you can't possibly have a goal of what that's going to look like. And he talks about this much more clearly than I. So, but the link will be, as I say, sent to Cheryl, posted with the audio. Well, we've got half an hour. Beautiful. Then that's a really long yoga nidra and shavasana. Let me just stop my dog from... Billy, stop it. Okay. She's obsessed with licking herself. So, yoga nidra, if you're not aware of it, is a practice of yoga. It means yogic sleep. And it's kind of like a meditation. In the fact that you put yourself in a very comfortable position, lying down on the floor, and then you move yourself into a state of complete acceptance. And the way this is done is that there is a guided, normally a body scan that happens that will take you through parts of your body. And then it goes at one step further, and it will start to encourage you to move, not just be aware of your physical body, but notice emotions and their opposites. And then you might notice thoughts and their opposites. And then within this, there is a programming that takes place. So if you set an intention, you set something that you wish to, a question that you would like answered. And then you go deeper and deeper into this almost trance-like state as you sort of becoming very aware of different parts of your energetic body, and accepting whatever is there, that you sort of rest in this place of surrender. And often, you know, you feel like you're asleep and you sort of come out of it and you vaguely hear someone talking, and then you come back in, and before you know it, then you're out of it entirely. And it is phenomenal, and it's used in the military. It's used with people who have PTSD as a way of helping them through it. And it's wonderful. And it's basically a practice of awareness. It's a meditation on awareness, but you are put in a certain state, or you are moved into a state of surrender before you do that. And you're not really contemplating either awareness. You're just in the awareness, if you see what I mean. Whereas in meditation, we tend to have a goal, like we're going to sit down and we're going to focus on awareness, or we're going to be awareness, watching awareness. So, you know, we have those kind of goals in our meditation, even if it's just, I'm going to observe my thoughts. In yoga nidra, you're not. You're really just laid down and you're receiving. You're fully receiving someone else's guidance. But you set a couple of seeds or intentions, and then, hey, presto, it works. And I did one for 4 weeks. I did one every day, 30 minutes a day for 4 weeks, the yoga nidra. And mine was to know that I'm beautiful, because I'd never thought I was beautiful. And yet I knew that that was blasphemous, because if we're created in the likeness of the divine, then how dare I say I'm not beautiful? Of course I'm beautiful. but I didn't feel it, and I never felt it. And so every day for 4 weeks, this would be my seed. My intention was to really know that I'm beautiful. And I have to say, at the end of those 4 weeks, I knew that I was beautiful, I knew that everyone was beautiful, and I have never, and that was maybe 5 years ago, never ever questioned it since. And Bill sometimes laughs because he says to me, oh, you're beautiful. And I always go, I know, I know. Isn't it amazing? Because it's just such a joy to me to know. It's so really powerful stuff, Yoga Nidra. So we're going to do a little bit of Yoga Nidra. But what else also we're going to do is something called Shavasana. Mind is the great receiver, says Kathy. Spirit, the great healer. Yes, right. Shavasana, on the other hand, is something that is pure surrender, and it's normally done in silence. So Shavasana is an asana. It's a posture in yoga that you do at the end of class, and it's also called the corpse pose. And the idea is that when you're doing a yoga practice, you are bringing energy into chakras, you're moving it around, karma is being burned off, things are arising that may need to sort of be processed or worked through, and your energies can be moved and a little, it can be a little much. So Shavasana, what happens is you just lie down at the end, and you don't have to do anything, it's not a meditation, all you have to do is just lie down, and your body sort of integrates everything that's happened in your mind and your emotional body. And there are some really magical things that happen in Shavasana. You can have sort of different altered states, you can have clarity, you can feel very, very deep inner peace, and all really with doing nothing and aiming for nothing. There really is no goal. It's kind of phenomenal. So we're actually going to do a little bit of Yoga Nidra, in that I'm going to lead us in a body scan for maybe 10 minutes or so. We'll see how long that goes, and then we're going to rest in Shavasana for hopefully 10 minutes. And Shavasana is always done in silence, and Yoga Nidra is not, because it's a voice talking. So there is going to be silence at the end. So I don't know if someone wants to type into the room. I seem to be having trouble again. Just that we are here doing something, just we're resting in silence when that time comes. So to prepare for Yoga Nidra and Shavasana, and I really hope you do join me, we lie down on the floor. So you might be tempted to do this in a seat, thinking, I can't be bothered to lie down on the floor right now, I'm very comfortable in my sofa. And I really advise you to go and lie on the floor or your bed. The trouble with the bed, of course, is that it's very comfy and warm, and we tend to always sleep. The floor is a little less forgiving, but only get on the floor if you know you can get up. That's my first one. So but if you're on the couch, that's fine too. So really, the idea is to make yourself as comfortable as you can, but not too comfortable. So maybe put socks on, but not slippers. Maybe cover yourself in a blanket, but maybe leave your shoulders and hands out, you know, just so you remain a little bit awake, and then settling down into that. So I'm just going to wait 2 minutes, just in case anyone wants to do that and prepare themselves in that way. And of course, this is a recording, so if you don't feel like doing it now, you're in the middle of cooking or whatever you're doing, then you can always listen to it afterwards. So I'm just going to mention this very sort of sweet phrase, or some sweet couple of sentences about surrender from Deborah Daly's book, as a sort of segue into the mindset for surrender. She says, surrender is knowing ourselves to be part of this divine oneness and then giving ourselves over to the greater whole. We find in the process that we do not lose ourselves, but instead become part of the greatness itself. So when we lay down and we just begin to get comfortable and we close the eyes, And we just set the intention that any sounds that we hear are part of our process, are part of our experience, and we welcome them. So we just begin by noticing if there's any tension in the body. Maybe noticing what's soft. Just noticing the difference and seeing if we can move into a state of balance. So a gentle body scan, often starting with the jaw and the tongue. Maybe the shoulders and the hands and the feet. So we're laying down on the ground. Maybe we can feel the earth beneath this. And the feet might be slightly turned out. And the palms maybe open and upwards, whatever's comfortable. And we bring our awareness to the left foot. So becoming aware of our left foot, of the left toes, of the space between the toes, left heel, of the left sole, top of the foot, and the ankle. Completely aware of the left foot. And we have to become aware of the lower leg on the left side, all around, left and right, front and back, where shin, moving upwards to become aware of the calf, becoming aware of the knee and the back of the knee. From down upwards, we carry on going up the left leg, up the back of the thigh, the front of the thigh, all the way up the thigh, into the hip, the left hip. Aware of the left leg relaxing, of the space around the entire left leg. Left leg completely relaxed. And we turn our attention to the right foot. Aware of the spaces between the toe of the right foot, the heel, the sole, the top of the right foot, completely relaxed, relaxing the right ankle, all the space around the ankle, and from down upwards, we move up the right leg, relaxing the shin, the calf, left and right side of the right leg, back and front, moving upwards to the right knee, relaxing the back of the knee and the front of the knee. Moving upwards, relaxing the front of the thigh and the back of the thigh, all the way up into the right hip. Feeling the right leg completely relaxed. And then feeling left and right leg together completely relaxed. Turning to the left palm, feel the left palm completely relaxing. Aware of the space between the left fingers, the palm and the back of the hand. And from down upwards, we begin to relax the left wrist. Moving up the forearm, all sides, all around, all the way up into the elbow. Inside and outside of the left elbow, relaxing. And from down upwards, we move up the arm. All the way around, left arm, left upper arm, into the left shoulder, completely relaxed. Left arm, completely relaxed. Turning our awareness to our right palm, we relax the right palm and the back of the hand, feeling the space between the fingers and the thumb. Relaxing the right wrist. Moving up the arm, relaxing all of the forearm on all sides, up into the right elbow. Continuing up the arm, all the way up the arm, into the shoulder, the right shoulder. Feeling the entire right arm completely relaxed. Feeling right arm and left arm together relaxed. From the base of the spine, begin to relax the trunk of the body from down upwards. So relaxing the buttocks, relaxing the front pelvis area, relaxing inside and outside, relaxing left and right, front and back as we move up the trunk, relaxing the belly, the lower spine, the sides, all the way up, relaxing the ribs, the rib cage, the middle back, continuing to go up, relaxing, feeling all of the organs, relaxing inside, relaxing outside, moving all the way up the chest, the upper back, up again into the shoulders and round the top of the back, feeling the entire trunk completely relaxed, allowing all organs to relax. And then taking in a global awareness of right leg, left leg, right arm, left arm, the trunk of the body, front and back, left and right sides, all together as one, completely relaxed. And moving up the neck, begin to relax the throat, becoming aware of inside the throat, and turning our awareness to the back of the neck, into the left and right hand sides of the throat as we move from down upwards, relaxing the whole of the neck and throat up into the jaw. Relaxing the jaw. Relaxing the lips, the tongue, the roof of the mouth, the bottom of the mouth, the sides of the mouth. Relaxing left cheek and right cheek. Relaxing left nostril, right nostril. Relaxing the nose up into the bridge of the nose. Feeling the left eye relax in the socket. Relaxing the eyebrow. Switching to the right hand side, feeling the right eye relax. And the right eyebrow. Feeling left ear relax. Right ear relax, both ears together relax. Moving up into the temples, feeling both sides relaxing at once. Relaxing the top of the head and moving around to the back of the skull, relaxing the back of the skull. Feeling the whole of the head, the whole of the face, left side, right side, inside the skull and outside the skull, relax. And feeling the entire body in one global unit relaxed. Completely supported, completely floating. Now we'll begin our Shavasana. And then very slowly begin to come back to the body. So you can perhaps maybe come back through the senses, just observing what you hear. Maybe the feel of the air on the skin. Maybe a smell. I'm going to keep the eyes closed a little bit longer and just begin to become aware of the breath moving inside the body. Just Just observing if you notice where the breath stays contained in the body, or whether it seems to move out of the body, whether there seems to be a container at all. And then becoming back a little bit more, beginning to move the fingers, the toes, maybe the nose, maybe taking some deeper breaths. Maybe squeezing the knees together at the chest, and taking a stretch of the arms overhead. Whatever you feel you'd like to do upon waking, maybe you don't get the opportunity to do it. About Shavasana is that it is just a surrender, and some days the mind will be, some days you will just pick it up. I was thinking, recovering from Ephesians, being the great receiver, can't scroll up and down for some reason, but essentially that's really what Shavasana is. It's about just making yourself available to receive. And I got this book this week called Instruction Manual for Receiving God, and it's by Jason Shulman. And again, I'll put it on the top of today's session for the website. But there are a couple of things I really loved, a couple of his thoughts. I just wanted to share them before we run tonight. And this was one of them. The aim of receiving God is to become more human, not to arrive at some transcendent state in which the difficulties of being human are no longer present. He writes, how my ego longs for ease. What is ease to the ego? The absence of everything that makes up my humanity. My ego wants no fear of death, but it wants to be clear of who I am, to be incredibly kind, to be wise in every situation, to be honored, but never to get a swelled head, to be loved. My real self, however, longs for ease too. But it knows I can experience freedom from the fear of death only by accepting the fear of death. It knows I cannot always be composed and clear, and it does not demand that of me. It wants only my humanness. And pride and the desire to be adored, these two must be held close in the light of consciousness, otherwise they will go on their merry way underground, causing quiet but persistent mayhem. And I thought this was just lovely, talking about surrender. And then the other one there, healing involves unlearning the things that block out openness from shining forth. And he also makes this wonderful point that when we want to be open-hearted doesn't mean kind or loving, it means open to what arises. And if what arises at that moment is an unkindness from ourselves, and we are open-hearted to that, which I thought was really helpful. We don't need to open our hearts. We need help to get out of our way, he says. It is winter. Button up your coat. But it is not the coat that keeps you warm. The coat simply holds in the heat of your body. Your ongoing life is the furnace that brings human warmth into the world. What we have to unlearn is that we need something from the outside in order for us to be worthy. What we have to unlearn is that we need to be a thing rather than a walking, breathing process that flames the world because it is simply being itself. And I love this idea that that we have to unlearn of being something and instead move into the process. And I think that sort of captures this essence of surrender, that in every moment, just asking the divine, what should I do? Surrendering ourselves to be moved through a process of, I know in Kabbalah we talk about godding, that God is a verb, but being in the process of Heleneing or Kathying or Shirling. So whatever we're doing, we're just sort of living in that moment, coming from that moment. And that's really a sense of Ishvara Pranidhana, because that becomes the living life for the divine. So with that, I'm so sorry that there's been sort of technical issues today. I'll try and get that sorted for next time. We're just going to wrap up the Bhagavad Gita next week, and then we're going to the Tao Te Ching. We're going to be working through chapter by chapter. It's going to be like a study group, work group, and I'll post more about that online and in the Waking Day Facebook page as well. But for now, I wish you all a pleasant evening, and God bless, good speed, blessings. Feel we namaste. Thank you.